Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We're broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington again, otherwise known as UFO and Paranormal Central. There's a lot going on again. We've had some amazing groups come up here. There's so much going on. I want to talk a little bit about the news, what's happening. Alfred Weber is doing some amazing things with exopolitics. And so I believe if you go to exopolitics.com, and could be .org, I'm not sure, but I'll have to check into that. But and look at his stuff. If you're signed up on our newsletter, it's go to www.eseti.org, sign up on the newsletter, and we send this information out. But he's just doing some phenomenal things about covering everything from, depleted uranium to the chemtrails to the whole plan. And, you know, he tied it all together. And the bottom line is, you know, the way they explain this is that, you know, this Illuminati group, whatever you want to call it, they have the roosters and the owls. And some of the people in these groups want people to know what's going down. They want to know what the plan is, and they want people to wake up. And they don't want to participate in the karmic consequences that are coming down for some of the heinous acts that are going on. So they're letting this information out, and as much as they can. But you have to really learn how to listen and learn, you know, what's going on, and so you know what to look for. And then they have the owls, which are very secretive, and they're doing everything behind the scenes, and so you don't really see what they're doing. But it's kind of interesting now because things are becoming split in all the agencies, all the different groups, and even in the dark groups, they're waking up, and people in these Illuminati groups and cabals and things like that are walking away and saying, you know, I don't want to do this anymore, because of the new energies coming in. So it's inevitable. The dark forces are going to be folding in on themselves, and so hang in there. The what's interesting with Alfred Weber's work, he's tied it all together and showed the whole plan. And, you know, there is a plan to extinguish a large portion of the population, get the population control going and get it down, and we've seen, you know, the program. We've lost 60% of our rights right now as far as the Constitution is concerned. It's more like toilet paper. And, all this nonsense going down is just getting worse and worse and worse, but that's all part of a plan. It's part of you might say, you know, you need the darkness. You need a ladder. You need the darkness at the bottom of the ladder to step up. And so a lot of these, the more negative gets, the more it's going to trigger the need to rise up and stand tall and rise to the occasion. So it's actually, in the long run, we'll be empowering people. So we have a choice. You know, we can be victims or we can rise up and work together and start living in harmony with each other and the planet and just saying no to the nonsense. But, you know, these little Nancy Reagan just say no to drugs things and everything else, we should say just say no to the cabal, you know, just say no to the Illuminati and don't participate anymore in the wars and the destruction of the planet and all the other nonsense. But anyway, my hat's off to Alfred Weber, the work that he's doing, because he's tied it all together and he's going public with it and just showing the whole plan and who's involved, who's behind it, everything. And so he's doing some amazing work. He actually coined the word exopolitics. And he's bringing, for peace in space, you know, cooperation for peace in space. He's working on all these different projects to get rid of all this mass weaponry. There's one of the good news things I just found out today. I think it was a 737. They hooked up this huge laser cannon to this 737. They're flying around trying to shoot down UFOs, and they just lost their funding. So that's the good news. There's a lot of other nonsense going on out there, but, it's time to bring these other technologies forward and for peaceful means, not the negative means. because we do have counter-gravity, we have anti-gravity, we have the ability to heal most diseases. We have all these incredible technologies that have been suppressed, and, you know, it's time to bring these technologies out. And they're going to be coming out, you know, very shortly, because it's just part of our evolutionary process to evolve. And you can only hold 11 evolution down so far. Not wanting to toot my own horn, but I was just watching a DVD that we have on our website, and you can go to eSETI.org and check it out if you want. But I was watching an old DVD, and the reason I was watching it, because we had one that just kept skipping, and we found out we had a few DVDs that I guess were faulty or something. So I was watching this one all the way through to make sure it didn't skip. And in 93, it was amazing some of the information that was coming out as far as 91 in these DVDs. And in 2003, we covered everything from, you know, orbs to you name it, to UFOs, to fuelless energy technologies, actually fuelless energy machines running, the super oxygenated water technologies. A lot of these healing technologies are all covered in these topics, and we've been doing this since basically full time since 1982. And you know, the books Reunion with Source cover all the earth changes, everything that we're going through right now. And after watching this DVD, and some other people are watching it too, they're just blown away. They said, you know, that the world, I don't think they're ready for this. So now this is perfect, you know, but, you know, a few years ago or you know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, when a lot of this stuff came out, people just weren't ready for it. So it's amazing. But so we're going to do a push to get this DVD out again and get some real clear copies of it and you know, show people that, look, you know, this knowledge has been around for a long time. There's a lot of different things going on. We've been looking into the honeybee situation, and there's some amazing things with the honeybees. One of the things that's harming the honeybees is the nicotine-based pesticides, herbicides, and the GMO, genetically modified crops aren't helping them. The cell phones aren't helping them at all, but a lot of these things are really taxing the bees. And when you add this all together, you know, you start having some serious problems. And a lot of people are saying that, okay, a little technical difficulty here. We're back on the air. Probably getting too close to the truth here. So people are cutting lines and hanging up, but we're back on again. Anyway, going back to the bees, you know, there's some serious problems with the bees. They're like the canary in the coal mine, letting us know. I do believe the chemtrails have a lot to do with the death of the bees, you know, the ethylene dibromide, the aluminum oxide and barium and all these other things, which are extremely harmful to the bees and other life, as well as human life, are taking their toll. One of the good news is a lot of the bees are actually going underground. They're leaving and they're moving to different places, and they're building their hives underground in different places. And so I believe that's mainly due to the fact that they know that there's some events coming up, and they're getting prepared for them. I think humanity's probably the slowest person on the planet, or group on the planet, to figure out what's gone down. And if we start, you know, listening to nature and watching nature, we could learn a lot from these bees and from these other animals about what's going on. But, you know, we're definitely getting ready to having some amazing experiences. That's some of the news that we've been covering. We just heard that supposedly there was a crashed UFO in Moses Lake recently, and just yesterday, and we got all this information. So if anybody's out in the Moses Lake area and can find out any information about this, some people were saying it was bigger than a house, and they're throwing tarps on it to cover it up, take it out, and we don't have any verification on this, but we did have some people go out there, and they couldn't find anything. So if anybody hears anything, Moses Lake is an interesting place, and they do have a lot of Bigfoot sightings there and a lot of UFO sightings. So very well, this could have been what happened. There's a lot of activity everywhere. Some of the things we have a group here right now. We've been having groups come up here every night, basically, and doing sky watches. And mostly on the weekends, we've been getting a lot of groups. And we're having just massive UFOs fly over and light up and fly from horizon to horizon down below the trees, which would put them in the Earth's shadow. So these are self-illuminated objects. They're enormous. They're definitely not satellites or space shuttles or space stations because they're staying fully illuminated in the east as they go down behind the trees in the east, which is unheard of if you have a you know, something's coming over 12 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night and going straight over your head, you know, going due east and then goes down behind the trees. That just pretty much eliminates, you know, everything. They have these objects are massive. They're very brilliant. They have you know, different colored light. Sometimes some are like a purplish blue. Some are like more of a you know, just violet. You know, they're all kinds of different colors. So they have no strobes on them. They have no running lights. There's no red or green running lights and so these are definitely unknowns. You know, that's one thing we can say without a doubt, that these are unidentified. So anything, any Air Force aircraft, any kind of public aircraft, they all have to have red and green or red and blue lights and a strobe, and these have nothing on them, and they're totally silent. And they're very big, and they're flying underneath the clouds. So anyway, that eliminates that. We're having them come in, and they're doing side-to-side movements. They're slipping back and forth, wavering very, very wide back and forth movements, making it very known, you know, that these are not any kind of a satellite. And then they're turning, and they're making some pretty hard turns that we're watching. They'll start off going from south to north and then end up going due east or due west, you know, and so that eliminates satellites as well. But the skies are just lighting up here like crazy over the mountain, and they're continuing to light up almost nightly here, and we're seeing all kinds of activity. We have a lot of, looks like mainly a woman's group here. There's a couple men with it, but they're doing a lot of drumming, a lot of singing, and a lot of high energy work out in the field, and that's helping bring in the energy and establishing the right consciousness necessary, you know, to have these contacts. You know, every once in a while we're joined by somebody that's a real skeptic, and it does interfere a little bit in the beginning, but eventually they turn around and they come around when they start seeing some of the ships, and it's a real opening for them. Last night we had an enormous ship, looked like a giant flashbulb going off over the mountain. It was above the mountain, and which is almost 13 miles away. So, you know, having something that big and that brilliant, the luminosity or the candle power is just beyond imagination. And it lit up three or four times as it went over us and turned going due west, and then it turned off to the east. So, you know, these objects are really putting on a show. They're making it very clear to us that they are unknowns to most people, but to us, they're very well known. They're actually our ancient ancestors, and they're the greater family of man that's coming back and returning to assist us through these times. So this is another story in itself. We are going through some incredible times right now. Another event I want to talk about is the Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference that we're having coming up July 8th. We have some incredible speakers on the docket here. We've got Michal Ledwith, Jason Martel. We've got, you know, he's going to talk about the Anunnaki and the ancient history of the UFOs. There's so many speakers. If you want to go to, again, to eSETI.org and check it out, you can see all the different speakers. Susie Ward, who puts out the Matthews message, is going to be with us. of course, I'm going to be speaking, and one of the neat things that I really like is we are going to put out, for the first time ever, the world premiere of Contact Has Begun. And it's a true story with James Gillen is the name of the movie, and soon to be in the theaters. So any help you can get to help us to get this out to the theaters, we have quite a few theaters already. Looks like it's going to be going coast to coast already in different theaters. So we're trying to get this out to as many theaters as possible, and it's a very powerful movie with the message in it, and it covers everything that we're moving into. And it covers a lot of the, it's like global warming part two, but it goes much more in depth into what's happening on the planet. So I think we've got a caller. Do we have a caller online?
Yes, we do, James.
All right.
Brooks Agnew calling in. How are you?
Brooks, yeah, I forgot to mention you about the conference. I'm glad you called.
Oh,
I was just talking about the conference and everybody.
Well, I'm really excited about it. I heard you on Art Bell the other night, and you were really great, and the energy is fantastic. The buzz is really out there. This year is going to be fantastic up there.
Oh, it is. That this movie, I'm so excited because the people that did this movie, they, you know, did not pull anything back on it. They had high-definition TVs. They had the best of the best. They had the best software you can imagine. Top of the line on everything. The special effects are just phenomenal. So they did a top-notch job on this. I'm amazed. Well, and actually, you're in it.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about the movie. I haven't heard anything about it except from a few friends.
Yeah. Well, he's kept it very quiet. He's been holding it back, and we put the trailer out on YouTube and got something like 5,000 hits immediately off of it. But it's, you know, it talks about the contacts here, about the UFOs, their messages, some of the beautiful beings that are on the ships, and the energy that's exchanged, which, if you don't mind, I'd love for you to tell what happened to you up here as far as energy exchanges.
Oh, my goodness. well, okay. August of 2006, I was invited by James to come up and speak at last year's Earth Transformation Conference. I really didn't know what to expect. I had written a book on the creation of the Earth, and James had invited me up to speak about it. And I was actually the last speaker, so I had the privilege of listening to all the other fantastic speakers that come to these conferences. And I also had, in the evenings, a chance to participate in the meditation that they encourage you to do while you're there. And on Saturday night, before the before Sunday, I had an amazing connection with something from the mountain. And I don't know how to explain it, because those people that know me know I'm a scientist, not really a metaphysician. But I had an amazing experience that lasted for about 20 minutes that resulted in a kind of download from a group that interdimensionally connected with me from the mountain, and it changed me. I went through a sort of ascension experience, and I have not been the same since, and everyone that knows me has said that to me. And what it turned out to be when I got home on Monday, I was, as many people know, a participant in the Inner Earth Expedition coming up. It was supposed to come up this year. But the expedition leader unexpectedly died over the weekend. And I had no clue until I got home on Monday. But the personalities that were connecting with me from Mount Adams knew. And they knew that I was going to be the next expedition leader. And 6 weeks later, I was elected by the board to lead the expedition to the inner Earth. Well, that facilitated a postponement until summer of 2008. And that is what I will be speaking on when I come up there in just a little over 2 weeks to speak at your conference.
No, it's going to, I can't wait to see all you guys again. I mean, we had such a good time there. We've been working 24/7.
This is going to be a phenomenal conference. I mean, look at the people you've got coming. You've got Alfred Lambert Mott Weber. You've got Jay-Z Knight. You've got Michiel Ledwith. you've got a world-class lineup this year.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the tickets are selling like crazy right now. We're kind of wondering and go, where is everybody? And I think everybody's waiting to the last minute, but it's three-quarters full right now. There's a few tickets left. But I imagine we're going to sell out again this year like we did last year. And, you know, a lot of people afterwards that they had very well-documented serious healing crises they were dealing with that came to the ranch. And what was amazing is that they called me later and they said something happened there. And they can't explain it. Their doctors can't explain it. But, you know, things that they had x-rayed, serious internal problems and things like that, and their problems were gone. And it kind of blew me away. And I said, do you have the before and after x-rays and everything? He goes, yes, I do. You know, and I said, well, come next year and tell people about it. But I've had a lot of people say that they had, you know, really bad leg pain for years, and all of a sudden it just went away. And so that field out there, that little field of dreams that's so full of orbs and all these other energies, seem to have some kind of healing properties that come with it for some people. I'm not saying everybody's going to have a miracle, but I think that's between you and spirit. But
well, you know, it's funny you should mention that. A lot of people have they have preconceptions about ETs and about otherworldly beings. But, you know, I've come to believe that that they can slide between dimensions, and it's not really unlike angels and not really unlike miracles of what the ancient writers used to speak and write about and testify about. But one of the things that they make perfectly clear is that when the faith of the people ceases, these miracles cease as well. And one of the most remarkable things that I found out about your sanctuary is it's the spirit of the people that come there. It's the spirit of love and the spirit of togetherness and the spirit of peace is so powerful at your ranch that this is why these beings come from all over the universe to make themselves known right there.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny, I've had a lot of sensitives and adepts come here and people that are very well known for their abilities, and they've said the same thing. They said, this is like where the masters go to have retreats, you know, because they're everywhere here. They're seeing
well,
all kinds of
things. You know, it's kind of funny. I didn't get it. When I first got there, people were calling it the sanctuary, and I thought, well, it must be a sanctuary for the ETs. You know, this is where they come to feel safe. This is one of their connecting points, one of their hot spots on the earth. But after spending 4 days at your ranch, I realized that the sanctuary is really for us. It's where we can come and no one will say we're crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's you know, the way I feel about this is that, you know, we're interdimensional beings existing on this vibrational continuum, and some of us are more aware of that than others, and we're seeing things that other people can't see or experience, and that's okay. And the way I see it, even imagination is real on the level of imagination, because on that plane, people are creating their own realities from their consciousness. So what's real and what's not real? It really allowed me to just let go of the judgment and go, well, that's your reality. If you're having fun, have fun with it, you know.
Well, I can tell you as a scientist and as a participant and as your friend, it's real. And those of you that are listening tonight, if you have not been there, this is one of the least expensive conferences that you will go to. And if you've ever wanted to see a UFO, if you ever wanted to see an orb for yourself, get yourself up there.
I was going to tell you, I just found out, I didn't even know about this, but we had another group come up here, another UFO paranormal investigating group. I think they're the Pacific Northwest UFO investigators or something. I'm not sure what the name of them are. But they were here at the event, and a very large triangle ship flew over. And one of the guys had that 30-mile laser, and he was beaming it. And the thing stopped, and it sat there. And there was a few women sitting right next to him, and they started getting scared. And they go, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, they started getting really scared. And they go, stop it, you know, stop shooting the light up at it like this. And then it stopped and it sat there for a while. And as soon as they got into fear, he said it just took off. Like it just continued on. He said it actually stopped and was checking them out and checking out the group.
That's so, the same thing that happened to us when we were up there. Somebody shined the laser at it, and it stopped, and it got real big and bright, and it was coming down on top of us, and I was actually the one that got scared. I was actually the one that did panic. I was going to head for the trees because it was coming down right on top of us. It started to light up the ground around our feet, and I guess it sensed the fear, and it stopped and went back up and got real cool and gold again and took off in another direction.
Yeah, that happens. I always tell people, don't beat yourself up over this, because I had a Kung Fu master and a Qigong master here. And, you know, some of these guys are fearless. I mean, they're extremely well-trained. And when those ships power up and start flying over their heads, they freeze. They totally freeze up. And it turns them upside down. And, you know, and these are very well-trained, disciplined people. And, you know, and they have cameras and everything, and they don't even pick their... They forgot they even had a camera on them. They don't even pick up their camera, and they just have to go through that two or three times before they you know, just learn to relax and not react, and just, when you see something, grab the camera and just, you know, stay with it. But it's amazing what, you know, extremely well-trained, disciplined people will do when these things happen.
Oh, I was amazed. I was completely amazed. And well, listen, I'll get off the phone here and let some other people call in. I just heard you on the radio.
Stay on for a little while. Are you still there?
Sure. Yeah, I'll stay on.
Yeah, we got plenty of time. I was going to ask you a few other things about the you know, what happened here is I know you saw the event. You saw the mountain open up and, you know, the light come out of it and things like that. But this is happening on a regular basis here, and it'd be good to hear that, you know, from a scientist of your caliber that is actually seeing this event happen, because these other people are seeing it, and it is just blowing their mind. And there's this light right dead center in the mountain, and it starts opening up, and it's been opening up over and over again, and we're filming it. It's happening about probably maybe 2-3 times a week. We're seeing this, and sometimes we don't see it for like maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and then it starts up again. But
wow.
There's definitely things moving in and out of that mountain. And, you know, my understanding is that these are the same guys that are in the inner earth. They have a doorway here, and they have a doorway, you know, at the both of the poles, and they have doorways in Shasta, and they have a doorway in the Himalayas, and I think the Superstitious Mountains. There's several doorways that these groups have. And what's interesting is a lot of the UFOs we're seeing are actually coming from the interior, from the inner earth and underground bases, you might say, as well as the star nations that are returning, you know, as prophesied by the Native Americans. So they're all working together. And,
well, you're not the only one to tell me that that what I had experienced while I was up there was from the inner earth. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really sure how to validate that, but there are a couple of things that are just way, way too coincidental. The one is, of course, that I was a member of the expedition, but I was only a member of the expedition. All I was doing was I was going to pay my $20,000 to basically take a ride on the ship and to participate in helping to build a gyroscope and do some other experiments. But for this, and I have to tell you, the nature of this contact was not scientific at first. It was very musical.
Mm-hmm.
It had a lot of singing to it. And at the end of the singing, a certain statement, which is very private, just for me to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But there were other people that were participating in this meditation at the time, and they actually saw things that did pertain to the inner earth. They saw drawings and schematics and maps and things, which I didn't see. But these things went into me. They were in gold color, and they went into my back, into my body. which I didn't see these. I felt them, but I didn't see them. It took other people participating. It was kind of a group thing. And I really didn't know what it meant, so I asked a star child, a person that I know. Her name is Angelica Whitecliff. You know her very well.
Oh, yeah.
What does this mean? And she said, I have a feeling that this was a download for you, that some time during the expedition, when you're out there in the frozen Arctic, pounding through the ice day after day with this big icebreaker you're going on, that you're going to go everywhere that you pre-designed to go, and then the captain of the ship is going to say, well, Dr. Agnew, where to now? And you're going to know because of this download. So that's what leads me to believe that it was a contact with inner Earth. However, I've spoken to several channels. By several, I mean nearly a dozen. And these are all people that are published authors. They have workshops. They're well-recognized. They have great followings that follow them. And every one of them has had an opinion about what in the world that was and who it was that contacted me. And my feeling is they're all wrong. Every single one of them, not one of them got it right. I'm not saying the channels are missing the boat, but I am saying that everybody kind of has their own agenda when it comes to this genre. And I'm not trying to have an agenda. I'm just trying to unite the clans. I'm trying to bring everyone together to do one expedition to just go and see. Let's go see what's up there in the northern regions.
And the most important opinion is what it meant to you and your experience. I loved what you said. And you said, you know, I'm a scientist. I don't use my body to gather information on huge instruments. You said
that's
this
right.
is new for me.
It's not an instrument I can plug into anything. It's not fair. I wanted to use an instrument. But it did come in through my body. And it, you know what I kind of felt like? Did you ever see that movie Contact when Elle, who is this almost atheistic scientist who goes on this amazing journey, and you don't see what she sees, but you see the look on her face when she has this experience. She sees something in the universe that completely changes her. Maybe it doesn't convince her that there's one God that created everything, but it does convince her that there is some kind of creation going on. And I think if you really were to read the lines in Elle's mind, that she'd realize that she is participating in that creation, as we all are.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's a co-creation. But, you know, the way I see it is we're just walking through an incredible event, you know, that's called evolution, and it's time for us to join the rest of the universe. And some of us want to do it very peacefully and lovingly, and some of us want to shoot it all down and grab it and back engineer it. So luckily, I think the ones that want to do it lovingly and peacefully are the ones that are going to win out on this one.
Well, I think it's it goes into fear. We, as a primitive people, and it doesn't really matter if we're rubbing sticks together to make fire to cook meat, or whether we're building weapons to charge across the frozen tundra at people we don't understand. It's all about fear. And if people could just rise above the fear and figure out that we are Earthlings living on a very special blue little ball in the middle of cold space, and we're not from here anyway, and we're not going to die here. We're going to live forever in some form or another, in hundreds, maybe millions of lifetimes. If we would just let that fear dissolve away, we could figure out how to live in peace, and the life that we could live together would be absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, it's so simple. All we have to do is live in harmony with each other and the planet. You know, it's really that simple. I mean, everything else is the mind screw, you know, that we've been given or we're doing to each other or ourselves, you know, but it's really that simple. Be kind to each other and be kind to the planet. It's how hard is that? And start throwing all the rest of the crap out that's not kind to each other and the planet, and we could turn things around. Now, that's the formula. It's no magic guru. It's no second coming of Christ and all these other things. It's like, let's just start being kind to each other in the planet. How hard is that?
Well, that's kind of all Christ really tried to teach us anyway.
Yeah.
When he had his arguments with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and even the Roman government, he was pretty clear about it. He said, look, you know, all your traditions and all of your genealogies are meaningless. The law hangs on two things, loving your neighbor as yourself and loving God. If you do those two things, all the other laws just go away. You don't need anything.
I always wanted to add one more little law in there, and that was to love the Creator and all creation. You know, honor each, all life, you know, respect all life, the sacred circle of life, because people seem to separate the Creator from creation, and that gives them the right to do whatever they want to the planet and to life. And, you know, if we just started seeing the Creator in all creation and each other, then things would turn around.
Well, sometimes people take for granted when somebody else creates something, we don't really show gratitude for it. But if we realize that we helped create it, maybe people would take a little bit more gratitude for every little blade of grass, every fish that swims in the sea, every bird that flies in the sky, every song that you hear from a bird in the morning becomes very special. And preserving that becomes sort of a flavor of everything that you do, whether you're building a machine or building a house or a neighborhood or a road. You've got care that you have to take for all of that.
Oh, yeah. This what is it? Is it Descartes? I'm trying to think of his name, the guy that thinks everything's mechanistic, you know, and that, you know, you can take everything down to parts and that's it. And you know, and then you say, well, who taught the birds how to sing their song? You know, you know, you think about things like that and you go, wait a minute, there's just way too much creativity here to have a mechanical universe we live in. You know, there's some very talented creation going on here. You know,
there's an amazing realization. It's called irreducible complexity. It's something that we face in molecular biology all the time. When you think about evolution, you think about things that might mutate in order to have some environmental advantage. But sometimes what appears to be mutation is extremely complex and has many, many components to it, without any part of which that animal would have no competitive advantage whatsoever. It would just lay on the bottom of the pond and die. Mm-hmm. So you realize that, you know, something as simple as the flagellum on a one-celled animal or the wing of a bird is, without any one component of that, that animal would have no environmental advantage, and it would just be consumed, and that mutation would do the species no good whatsoever. Of course there is intelligent design. The question is, and it's quite exciting to think about it, who's doing the designing? Whose intelligence is it makes the design, that makes it happen? And the answer is, it's us. We are the ones that are doing it.
And once we own our multi-dimensionality and realize that, you know, we've been around forever and that we're spirits that have been around forever that came from the source itself, that we actually partook in all this creation and now we're down here walking among the creation in this body, thinking we're just a personality, and we forgot our divine heritage and that we did take part in all this.
Right. So next time you think about harming something or overfishing or hoarding or clear-cutting or bulldozing some river, think about that and then see what you do.
Yeah, it's a tough... people have a million excuses, and the intellect can validate anything, it seems like, any behavior whatsoever. You know, say, well, I've got to put food on the table, or I've got to make my house payment, or, you know, I've got that new Beamer I've been looking at for a while, and so I'll just, you know, turn a blind eye here and do what I have to maintain this lifestyle. So many people are involved in that that they're just not paying attention to, you know, how it's affecting others and the planet.
Sure.
I think it's just a short amount of time before we have, you know, the water technologies are coming out everywhere where they're splitting water on demand, you know, on the cars now, so we can actually burn water. And the other technologies, the counter-gravity and anti-gravity, is just around the corner. So I think we're going to take a massive quantum leap here after the key month that they've been telling me is this November, that after this November, a huge shift is going to happen. And then the golden age is going to be kicking in full time, but we're still going to have to go through some changes, you know, between now and then. But they're saying that November's we're already in it right now. We're already going through this huge shift in vibrational lifting and healing. But they keep telling me November's a key point where just there's going to be a massive influx of energy, and it'll be interesting to see what we do with it.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I know this, July 6th to the 8th, there's going to be an amazing influx of energy that will greatly affect the universe right there at Mount Adams, and we're going to be there to see it.
Yep, and I hope everybody brings their cameras, because it would be nice to have about 400 video cameras here all filming these ships when they come in, and so, you know, put an end to this nonsense that we keep here. You wouldn't believe some of the nonsense emails and you'd love this one. This guy told me, he says, after going on the Art Bell show, he goes, I'm going to prove you wrong. You know, you're nothing but a fake and a charlatan and all this other stuff. And he says, I'm going to bring my camera and I'm going to bring radar and I'm going to bring all these things and I'm going to film the sky and I'm going to prove that you're wrong by filming nothing. I'm going to film nothing to prove that nothing's there. And I started laughing, and I just said, you know, film away, you know. I said, unfortunately, you're kind of in competition with about 4,000 eyewitnesses and top physicists and scientists of every walk in life who have filmed something, you know. So, and he goes, I'm going to film
amazing. Last year when we were up there, I spoke to some people who saw, you know, they've seen an orb or two here and there, and they get one in a foot. Every 30 or 40 photographs they take, they'll see a little orb. And then you see someone like Michiel Ledwith come in and do some photography right there in that echinacea field that you've got beside your house. And you don't see one or two or 200. You see, like, I couldn't count them, probably 2,000 orbs in four photographs in a row.
Yeah.
And then he puts them up on the screen there in that meeting hall you have up there.
Mm-hmm.
And you just sit there with your jaw on the floor because you say to yourself, wait a minute, I was standing in that field. That's me in that picture.
Yeah.
And here are all these energy beings around you that are picked up with these extremely sensitive cameras. And the resolution on these cameras is like 10 megapixels or better, just incredibly expensive cameras. And then you blow them up on that big screen wall you've got in that meeting hall, and you walk up to these orbs, and they're 6 or 8 feet in diameter, and they're crystal clear, and you run your fingers over them, and you see all the tiny little details in them, schematics and diagrams and machines and faces. It's just amazing.
Oh yeah, we've got some 30 footers here. Or we had some people here last week. It was amazing. And a good friend of mine was here, and she went and took a bunch of pictures. And we went down, you know, everywhere. You know, we were going down in basements and, you know, taking photographs. And no matter where we went, these orbs were everywhere. I mean, they're half coming through the walls. They're coming through a steel building, half in, half out. Beautiful. The whole conference building was full of orbs, as usual. And they were just in every predicament. And I told her, I said, don't use your flash. Let's eliminate the flash theory, and that we're flashing dust particles and things like that. And she got them without a flash.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the daytime, every... you know, and before and after, she'd take a picture, nothing there, take another picture, all of a sudden, and then I'd say, okay, now just focus and ask them to participate, and she would, and she'd take another picture, and there's 20, 30 orbs in it, you know,
You know, people say, well, how can orbs go through solid rock? And that's a really simple answer. There really is no such thing as solid rock on this world. Do you know that a neutrino could travel through a light year of solid Earth and not strike anything? Uh-huh. There's a lot of space in the matter that makes up Earth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and these things are such a high frequency, they just move right through things. They're not on...
That's correct.
On this dimension, so this dimension really isn't physical to them. They're not.
Well, they have to lower their dimension. They have to lower their vibration quite a bit to even be seen by the digital equipment.
Mm-hmm.
It's risky for them.
Yeah. Well, it's like the ships having to. I mean, they come by and they light up and they let us see them and everything. But when they drop into the physical, then all hell breaks loose. I mean, we have jets here, black helicopters, you know. As soon as they start becoming physical, you know, you're going to have problems. The more physical it gets, the more problems you have. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is.
Well, like I said, there's a lot of entities that exist in fear. I was once in the military, and I can tell you, if they view trespassers into our airspace that don't have a transponder or won't communicate with them, they view them as a clear and present danger, and they will take action against them.
You know, what's interesting is, you know, to me, the logic behind that, in the interest of national security, when you have an object that's flying several thousand miles an hour, making right-angle turns, that can blip in and out of this dimension, you know, become physical and non-physical,
right,
that... To me, in the interest of national security, you'd want to make friends with it and find out what it is, because there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, it might be so, but, you know, the military isn't really there to make friends. They're there to break things and kill people.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately. But, you know, just me, it's just totally illogical, because it's not in the interest of national security to start a war with beings that could incinerate a planet in a moment and take out all of our defense systems, you know, at will, which they have. I mean, they've shut down the nuclear sites. They've done all kinds of things to show that there's really nothing we can do about it if they choose to shut things down. So to me, I think in the interest of national...
Some of them have also been shot down, and the occupants have been killed, too.
Yeah, yeah. Some of the low-level ones are the ones just not paying attention. But, you know, I was told that they have beacons out in space and warning people not to come to the Earth because it's a hostile, primitive planet. So,
wow.
You know, that's kind of interesting, thinking about that. It's come here for a little family vacation, you know, and you get your butt shot off and you dissect it, and who knows what else is going to happen to you. But, you know, hopefully that's going to be changing with all the exopolitics, you know, movements, and Michael Sala and Alfred, you know, Weber, and all the work that they're doing now. You know, I think it's just a matter of time.
So.
Definitely.
I hope part of this enlightenment is raising the awareness of the occupants of Earth that we are not alone in the universe, and that it's about time we join the galactic community.
Yeah, I think it's part of our evolutionary process. I want to tell you something really funny. I was out there. I've been working since sun up to sundown getting this building done, and we're adding bathrooms and showers and everything here and just dialing in this place and a better sound system, you name it. And all of a sudden I realized, I go, you know, this is Saturday. I don't have a guest for my show. And I got this little voice in my head said, don't worry about it, you know. And so I just went back to work. You know, and I just trusted. I said, you know, this is going to be a perfect show. Something's going to happen. I'm just going to trust, and I'm not going to worry about it. And then you called in. Perfect timing.
Well, the universe always fills in for us if we have the right energy that we have sent out. Karma debts come back, good ones and bad ones.
Oh, Well, I want to thank you so much for listening to that, whatever that voice was that told you to call in, because it was perfect timing, and it sure saved my butt. And as long as we all just go with that flow and trust our intuition and act on it, you know, things just flow smoothly.
My pleasure, James. No problem.
Well, again, I can't thank you so much for calling in, and we'll have you back on the show again. And I can't wait to see you up here. Are you going to? You're going to probably come in early, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to come in on the 5th and try to get set up and get in the mood, and I'll meet everybody that's there. No problem. We're going to bring plenty of stuff, and I'm really approachable. I'm not. I might be getting more well known, but trust me, mm-hmm. I'm just as common as they come.
I'm going to give you my name tag, and you can walk around and answer all those questions.
I'll be the
greeter. I'm
going to
put nobody. I'm going to put nobody on my name tag.
All right, my friend. I'm bringing you a gift too when I come up.
Oh, awesome! I love gifts. All right. Well, thanks so much, Brooks, for calling in, and can't wait to see you up here.
All right. Peace, my brother.
All right. You take care.
Bye bye.
Well, it looks like we're just about out of time with the new equipment. I think we go to 55, or if not, maybe somebody can tell me, but 8:55 or so. But looks like we're running out of time. I want to thank everybody for listening. Be sure and go out and watch the skies. There's a lot going on. It's unbelievable what's happening in the skies. Get some clear skies and go out there and turn your TV off and start looking up and fill your heart with love and pure intent and put it out there and see what happens. You might be amazed. You're going to see some things that you just can't explain. But anyway, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great evening.